At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Comeback Stories is a production of Inflection Network and iHeartRadio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are here for another episode of Comeback Stories. So by acknowledging and honoring the month of October as Mental Health Awareness Month, we are going to dive deep today on this topic with our guest, former major leaguer turned mental health advocate, Drew Robinson. So I first learned about Drew from the ESPN documentary Alive, the Drew Robinson story. And since then, our relationship has been coach, client, and I just consider him one of my close friends. He's been on our podcast before, but his story and what he's doing today in the world is absolutely worthy of a round two. So welcome back to the show, Drew Robinson.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm looking forward to it. I was pumped when you reached out. Always good catching up with you guys and talking shop.
Yeah, we will. There's a few guests that I think, you know, are worthy of every season coming on. And just as your story, obviously, but you're one of our friends and you're just a huge inspiration to both Darren and I. I mean, my personal opinion, I don't know of a better comeback story on this planet than the one that you have, and that we'll hear some, and maybe we won't tell the whole story so they can go back and listen to your initial episode. But I don't know. I mean, just the comeback in itself, and I'll let you get into that a little bit. But most importantly, like what you're doing with it now, and how many lives you're impacting and saving is just amazing, man. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. It's always nice to get those words of encouragement and reminders. I feel like I have a good fuel source of my own, but it's always nice hearing those things again. It only adds to the fire of trying to use it for good and learn one of the hardest lessons and teach or just kind of share some of the lessons learned from it. So it's always nice to be reiterated.
I feel like I'm going to go right into coaching mode with you and ask you, what came up for you as you were getting acknowledged there? Like, how did that feel, if you're being honest?
Yeah, man, I just think whether we like to admit it or not, no matter where we're at in our journey, we all like words of affirmation. We all like external validation. So I've experienced searching for that to an extreme where it actually becomes detrimental, but just kind of feeling like that validation, just kind of like I said, that those feel goods of feeling proud of myself, seeing whatever work I'm doing, reaching some people, which is really what I'm doing it for. So it just kind of feeds the ego a little bit, but not too much to where it's running my life. So it just kind of feels good to hear it from others, especially if someone I respect so much.
So how are you doing? Like, how's your comeback going? What have you been up to since last time we talked on the show?
Yeah, it's going well. been a lot, but like I said, my life has definitely changed, changed for the better, but I'm good. I think it's been fun to take time to reflect, take time to talk about it openly like this, because it really just kind of reinforces all the lessons I'm trying to learn and trying to seek more clearly for myself. So I'm doing well. There's times where I get to have to learn or have to relearn the same lessons, but I think overall I'm enjoying the fruits of my mental health labor or fruits of my work by putting in the healing work, and I'm being able to find a little bit more clarity, a little bit more stability, and a little bit more perspective each day.
When you talk about lessons, that might be being repeated. Like, could you give me an example or an instance of like a lesson that maybe you're not learning that keeps repeating itself, that keeps showing up in life for you?
Yeah. I mean, where should we start with that one? But no, I think the most common one that comes in big and small waves is just the idea of control. I'm constantly having to be reminding myself or reframing the idea of like letting go at times and not having to control or obsessively control every little nook and cranny of my life, every circumstance, every scenario, everything that I'm doing, and try to make it exactly how I want. So I can't tell you how many times I journal or tell people or think to myself, the quote that you and I work on so much is, which is detach from any expected outcome. So I think the lesson of just like letting go and not needing always to be in control and trusting God, trusting the universe, trusting myself, that things will just kind of work out, and creating a little bit more of that space for peace in my mind for those, I don't know, those tedious everyday occurrences that I sometimes trip over.
So for the audience that maybe has not heard your story, how do we condense this? So I definitely recommend anybody that's listening, because you're not going to get the full story. You're going to want to listen to it on the first episode we had with Drew. And then you can also check out his ESPN documentary, Alive. I would listen to it on our podcast first and then watch the show. I think it'll be a good, I think we dove pretty deep, and I loved the emotion that was, that came along for that first episode that we did together. But yeah, maybe you can just give us, I don't know, is there a Cliff Notes version of your story?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a good idea too, of listening to something beforehand, because my articulation and my understanding has gotten so much deeper than when I did that initial filming. So having some more context going into it with the visuals and more of the professional setup, I think does help. I know it's helped me when I rewatch it at times. But yeah, I guess the condensed version, I'm from Las Vegas. I grew up playing sports my whole life, and I was always undersized, and had an older brother that was the exact opposite, who was like the prodigy of his age group his whole life, and kind of growing up in his shadow, growing up trying to keep up with him and just trying to prove myself, just kind of set me up for not feeling like good enough at times. And when I did eventually hit my growth spurt, which was pretty late, I got lucky enough to be drafted by the Texas Rangers out of high school, that like still not good enough, still kind of in the shadow of somebody or something. The comparisons, the insecurities, the people pleasing, all these things that I kind of naturally learned throughout my childhood followed me into my adulthood. And I was lucky enough to play parts of 12 professional seasons, with parts of 3 of them at the major league level. And achieve my childhood dream, but my career and really my life path turned into another example of how things don't always go as planned. And I've learned now that that's not always such a bad thing, but in the moment that wasn't necessarily the case. And a couple current events that I call the 3 ingredients for recipe disaster that happened leading up to the quarantine in 2020 got me to a really dark place mentally and emotionally. And I was able to convince myself my life wasn't worth living anymore. And unfortunately attempted suicide in April of 2020, and fortunately survived, had an awakening, committed my life, myself to finding the healing, finding the support and asking for help for real for once, made a comeback to baseball afterwards. And since then I've just been doing anything I can to try to help people learn from my mistake or my lesson learned, whatever way they want to look at it. My goal is to just try to help anyone not feel the way I felt or experience things I experienced internally beforehand, and let them know that I could be doing this. I could have found this healing, this journey without the attempt attached to my name. So I'm really just trying to heal out loud to prevent others from dying silently.
Man, Drew, I appreciate you as always, just being the man that you are and the time that we get to talk or spend, man. And I hope people can see from this episode and you coming back to the show that you have an amazing comeback and an amazing story, but it doesn't just end right there. That you're still continuing to learn, you're still continuing to live. And just like with Donnie and I with the show, we feel like with comeback stories, like the meaning of this show is evolving some. Like, not only is it the comeback story, bouncing back from your adversity, but the idea of like keep coming back, like no matter what it is that's in your life that you're going up against, like keep coming back to your practices, keep coming back to your center. You know what I'm saying? And I look at the shirt that you're wearing right now. It says KFG, if you want to elaborate on what that means. And also, you know, how does that apply to your life today? What are you still trying to keep going through?
Yeah, KFG, it's acronym for keep effing going.
You can say right. Fuck on our show.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, keep fucking going. It's just a blunt reminder, a little aggressive reminder to just keep going, whether I'm feeling some type of way that day or not. Just it's another one of my pieces of apparel that has little reminders on it. But I love that statement, that question, because that's probably the other main lesson that I am reminded of often, is that it is a continuous process. It's not a switch that goes off that one day I wake up healed, or I find a new connection or new meaning to something, or learn a new lesson, and then all of a sudden I have it. It's like not a tool that I just kind of obtain. It's a continuous thing. And I just like to always think about the concept of like, it's not healed or fixed, like the ED to any word. It's the ING part of healing, fixing, learning, growing, all these things. Because at one point in my journey after my attempt, when I had a very controlled environment, there wasn't much on my plate because I was just physically healing at that time and people were taking care of me physically and emotionally. There was a time where I was naively believing that I was never going to have a bad day again. How could I? If I ever started to feel something, I just look back to my near-death experience and survival experience, and whatever I'm going through can't be that bad, so never have a bad day again. But these last 3.5 years, I've learned that that's not the case, and I've tried to teach myself, learn myself, and try to help others learn that once you commit yourself to these things, it really is a never-ending journey, and it becomes an empowering journey instead of a daunting journey. And it's something that I find a lot of joy and fulfillment in, although at times it does get incredibly overwhelming and stressful, but that's also all a part of it as well.
What are some of your tools? I know you're armed and you've been doing a ton of work to sharpen these tools and have them readily available in your toolbox. But, you know, Darren and I and Drew and I, we talk a lot about pattern interrupts and how everything is really where our attention goes, energy flows. And so what works for you? Like, what has been working for you as far as those little tools where you can redirect your focus and look at your t-shirt, or some of the deeper, more extensive or intensive work that you've done around healing?
Yeah, I think the deeper one that I'm incredibly proud of is just dedicating or committing to therapy work. I find a lot of pride and joy, fulfillment, passion in committing to that. These last 3.5 years, I maybe have gone one time where I've gone longer than a week in between sessions. And I just make it a non-negotiable that I'm going to go to therapy and talk about it openly and brag about it and continue to learn from it and explore it in those sessions. I think the other two that I consider part of my trifecta for my own like self-care is exercise and journaling. So a combination of therapy, regular exercise, and journaling are like my three active go-tos. And then the in-the-moment smaller things definitely are pattern interrupts, like you said. And really just like as if I'm talking to myself as a different person, conversation with myself. So that internal voice talking to myself, thinking to myself, or trying to catch myself thinking to myself as if I'm someone that I love or someone that I care about. Because fortunately for me, a lot of my troubles is because I get so hard on myself and I just say like unfathomable things to myself over minor inconveniences. And I just belittle myself and I would never, ever talk that way to anyone else that I care about. So trying to catch myself and talk to myself or think to myself the same way that I would to a friend who's going through something or someone I care about who made a little mistake, and really helps me get back to the big picture perspective. Because a lot of times it starts with just asking a question like, is this going to disrupt your peace in 5 minutes, or is this going to affect things a week from now? And a lot of times the answer is no, and allows me to kind of like relax in that moment. So pattern interrupts, self-talk habits, and like reframing practices that just kind of take my attention off of that initial trigger are the smaller in the moment practices that I like to do. And I think a combination of that is like somatic stuff. So like whenever I'm feeling stressed and I catch myself in those moments, usually a very innate subconscious thing that follows is a really deep breath that I'm not trying to do, but that like bigger breath to kind of reset the nervous system allows me to kind of like calm down a little bit. But at the same time, the continuous process is that I'm not great at it, but it's definitely getting better than it was 3.5 years ago.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
When I hear about your trifecta, moving, writing, talking, it sounds like freedom. Like that's freedom, right? To move your body is to move stuck energy. When you're moving and breathing with purpose, your energy can't be destroyed, but it can be shifted, right? It can be moved. And I think that's the importance of movement. I mean, every morning it's like very clear why I move my body. It's all for my mind. It's so that I can be free from myself, ultimately just getting out of my own way. But moving, writing, we've talked a lot about on our show about journaling, how the process of it's getting out what's inside of you, because if you don't get it out, it's going to turn on you and eat you up from the inside out. So there's the writing component, and then there's the talking component of it. So I think it's cool that I'm just weaving in this. I heard the word freedom as you talked about those three. And I think also the quote of to be free is to free others. And I look at Darren and I look at you, Drew, and it's like, this is what you guys are doing in your life through the mess and through the pain. So I'm not sure if I even have a question in there, but I really want to, well, first acknowledge the both of you. But I think like this is really what sets us free. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, I think the word release came to mind when you're talking about freedom. Those acts that I do are really just a space to allow me to release a lot of those things or be more free. Because one quote that one of our team psychologists always says is that the body always keeps score. So if you're not getting it out, if you're not purging it, all the ugliness, all the unorganizedness, your body's going to remember it. So that next minor inconvenience, you might react disproportionately to the inconvenience because your body is storing all those things from the past, and you might just have a blow up over something so small, which I say you or other people might, when really it's like, that's what happens with me. So if I'm not releasing those things in my journal, in therapy, no matter how irrational or dramatic I feel it might be, when I release it in those safe spaces, it allows me to have a little bit more freed up space to react or respond in a way that I'm more okay with or not as triggered with. And I really think the intention attached to it too is so important. Like the exercise part, like the intention that I have with my exercise has completely shifted from when I was 18, just trying to look good without a shirt. Like, I do it, like you said, for my mental health, for my stability and my emotional stamina. So trying to create some adversity, intentional adversity, to try to be present. If I'm not present, I might get hurt. If I'm not paying attention, having to turn off the noise of putting my phone down, all those things, all the intention that I put into my, or what I think I'm doing it for, is way different than it was 10 years ago.
Drew, I think of you pretty often when I think of myself, and I want to know how you feel about this. Like, me being somebody who's like on the front lines for recovery, you as somebody that's on the front lines for mental health, you know, people are looking to us for inspiration. We've had, you know, great feats in, you know, mental strength, mental toughness. I sometimes can feel like whenever there's like a slip in my routines, or anytime where it's like mentally I don't really feel that strong, I kind of feel all over the place. I kind of feel like a fraud because I'm kind of like the guy that's out front, you know, leading the charge. Like, do you feel that way? Like, how do you keep yourself from dwelling in that space for so long? I'm asking for me, because sometimes I can find myself caught in that.
Yeah, no, that's something that's obviously, it's a new like ripple to the concept. It's something I've been doing my whole life, is guilt tripping myself for all kind of things. But this new part of my identity that is attached to me definitely has allowed or created a new level of, or a new concept of guilt tripping myself into, how dare you feel down, or how dare you feel stressed, or how dare you feel ungrateful, or whatever the negative thought is, when you survive what you survived, or you have what you have, or you're living the life that you're living. And that like internal monster just beats me down and makes me feel so, I don't know, regretful or guilty for feeling down ever. But that's where the work comes in. The fruits of my labor comes in, of understanding that the acceptance part, or just like anything, all the concepts I'm learning is adding up to the idea of knowing that I can't expect myself to be at my 100% best every second of every day. And that's okay. Like, this is just a temporary feeling. Having that understanding has allowed me to get through so many times of uncertainty, or just internal struggle, or extreme internal struggle, because it's so applicable to a lot of scenarios. So just kind of understanding that it's temporary. But like you said, I say these things as if I'm not struggling with them at times, but there is that little voice in the back of my head that is trying to tell me the things that I've learned, or try to help me reinforce the things that I've learned to help them not feel as severe in those moments. But yeah, it's something I definitely still struggle with. I talk a lot about how for 27 years I became a vet at pessimism and ugliness and being mean to myself. Right. So I really am still just a 3-year rookie at becoming a little bit more loving and caring and accepting of myself, and allowing some of this stuff to shine through. But it doesn't always happen as efficiently as I would like, but it's all part of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, man, that's a good way to paint the picture. It's like, I mean, at least in my sobriety / spiritual / mental health journey, I'm 6 years old, so that makes me like a first grader, and I'm first graders are just kind of still scattered all over the place sometimes. So
exactly,
I love that picture.
Yeah. I think that
I really
first
think
grade...
of it as like another language. It's like if I were to try to learn a full different language, like however long it takes to learn the first like chunk of it, I don't think I would find myself like judging myself for not knowing right away. So it's all about the learning process, is like thinking of it in terms of time. It's like like you said, at some point if I try to learn French, at some point I would be speaking on the same level as a 4-year-old. But in that moment, I probably wouldn't judge myself or guilt trip myself for not being great at it right away. But I do that when I'm having an off day with the best of them, to be honest.
Facts.
I think first graders can bring a level of curiosity and a willingness to want to learn at the same time. And I mean, clearly you guys have both done that and are constantly looking at ways that you can learn and grow and level up your life, both on the field, on the stage, off the field. But Drew, I wanted to go back because I talk about this so often. Darren and I talk about this so often on the podcast about comeback stories and the stories that we tell ourselves. And before I met you, I would give this extreme example of like, the only thing that matters is the story that we tell ourselves. And so, you know, when you came into my life and I heard your story, maybe you can walk us through this part of your decision to attempt. Was like, what, when did this story start? Like, do you remember one time saying, I don't want to live or I want to kill myself? And then like, can you just walk us through like how normal that day was? Because this is just what you said you were going to do.
Yeah. I mean, I can pinpoint, no, not pinpoint, but I can just think back to really early days of childhood of just reacting same way, similar ways to how I react to things as a grown adult now. So I think it's always kind of been an underlying pattern that's been there. I think one of my biggest things was just my insecurity with myself of just comparison started with comparing baseball player to baseball player and trying to be a better baseball player. But the deeper I dive, the more I realize I'm doing that in every other area of my life too. So I think that was a huge contributor, which led to insecurity of self-esteem and just overall confidence. And to make up for that, I would try to put on a front of what I thought confidence was when anyone was looking. So then I would have to deal with the consequences of that, of not being my authentic self. So when I stepped out of the spotlight or got home, then I would just feel unauthentic and just like not proud of myself. So then I would have to deal with that down feeling of guilt and just being a fraud or imposter or whatever. But yeah, I think all those things led to a lot of people pleasing as well, to try to make sure that people liked me because I was insecure with all those things. And that just created this big compilation of just unhealthy attachments to every life experience that I was going through. And yeah, for me, it eventually just got to a point where I had thought different times in my life. I remember a time, probably like around 20, 21, there was a time where I was like, actually, I realized I was thinking about suicide, not in as active as a way as I was in 2020, but there was definitely a couple moments throughout my life where I did have like a pretty blunt like question, like, what's the effing point here? But it wasn't until February of 2020, after that second ingredient, like I mentioned earlier, of at that time I called off an engagement to someone who cared about me and I cared about her. And I felt like I had ruined someone else's life and ruined someone else's peace, not just myself. So I saw the consequences of my internal world playing a role in someone else's. And that really just created the ball to be rolling down that hill towards the end. And basically like February 3rd, the day after I called the engagement, I had the first thought, like, what am I like? It would be so much easier if I just didn't have to deal with this. And the only way that I can think of is taking my life. And from that moment on until April of 2020, April 16th, it was basically on my mind 99% of the time. And like you said, because it was something I decided to do at some point the day of, it really was the most casual way that someone can probably picture such a severe thing to do, to be happening. So I wasn't planning on doing it the night before. I just kind of woke up and did it the same, or I was going throughout the day like I normally was at that point before, just having combative thoughts, wondering how I could do it, if I should do it, why I should do it. And then just some point in the afternoon, I was like, all right, I'm doing it. And then it was no emotional buildup. It was really more like a relief, like I finally going to be out of my pain. And there was no like, oh my gosh, it's happening, or an emotional cinematic buildup. It was just a very casual thing, just like I did anything else in my life, which is really one of the more uncomfortable parts of my story when I think about it. But that's just kind of the reality of it. And it was because I was just so exhausted at that point from my racing thoughts.
So what happens after you pull the trigger?
Yeah, I mean, that is the most confusing thing ever. But that's where that let go concept, like I mentioned earlier, comes into play in the most extreme way, or the heaviest level possible, is not having to know why, other than just trusting in God, trusting the universe that I don't know why, but I was looking at something, I pulled the trigger, and then I was still looking at it afterwards, thinking I missed, thinking it was a blank round, just thinking maybe it takes longer than what I've seen in the movies, and just being completely confused and not knowing what's going on. So just sitting there for the next 20 hours waiting for the end to happen, and when it eventually didn't, finally had that big picture moment of like, maybe I'm supposed to survive this, or maybe not even supposed to. At that point, it's more like maybe I want to survive this. So let me call for help. And yeah, it was the most confusing 20 hours, most painful 20 hours. But the moment after my first surgery, where I was stable, it was the most incredible couple hours, because I finally had the most extreme version of let go ever, and finally was like, floodgates open, and tell people I love them. Tell people who I really am and how deeply I think about things, how deeply I care about things, and not being ashamed of it for the first time. It was a very freeing feeling. But so, yeah, I think the important thing with that story is, or just that part of the story is, I don't like to portray it as it needed to take that. It's something that I could have been doing all along, and I could have had those exact same experiences without the attempt attached to my name. And that's why I talk about this, is because I could have learned these same lessons without that. So I don't want someone to have to go through that to thinking that it's going to give them the same experience that I've had, because the reality is it's probably not going to happen the way it did for me, because on paper, I shouldn't have survived where I survived.
So the story you had been telling yourself on the first attempt, I want to die, and you make that attempt and you don't die, and then you have an opportunity, right? Gun in one hand, phone in the other hand, sitting on the couch, the same place you attempted the first time. And then you choose to ask for help, right? And then I'm sure it's like, I know a lot of it's probably, you don't remember a lot after that, but remember waking up in the hospital and wanting to live. So then you start telling yourself, I want to live. So I guess I just want to highlight like the power of our thoughts and the stories that we tell ourselves. And like the way you walk us through that again, it's so riveting. And I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad that you've turned the pain into like purpose and are helping so many people. Listening to you on the podcast with Ryan on the pivot, I'm like, who is this dude? Just like the way that you articulate things, right? But I think it's beautiful, because for all three of us, you know, we get to kind of teach this stuff back. And they say the quickest way to learn something is to teach it back. So we're talking about this stuff all day long, every day. But to hear you and to hear like just the way you were articulating things and how great of a speaker you've become, like, yeah, you're set up for life because of your failed attempt.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because of the work after the failed attempt. Like I said, I don't like to give credit to the actual attempt, but yeah, I think it's just another reminder, another example, like I said earlier, of how things don't always have to go as planned. Because, I mean, 4 years ago, if I had an interview, I was always the backup or not a pretty non-factor in any big league game, but there was media everywhere. So there was times where I was being interviewed after the game with one little like phone camera or like a makeshift microphone, or like being asked to go talk to a youth baseball team before the game. And like, I couldn't speak. I was so insecure that I had a stutter in those moments. I didn't have a stutter in regular life, but like our regular day-to-day life. But like, as soon as the camera got on me, as soon as I got in front of a group and had to talk to anybody other than like my close friends or teammates or baseball personnel, I would start stuttering because I was so afraid of saying the wrong thing or messing up. And not to brag, but like, now I'm speaking as a public speaker at times. And it's like just another sign of how like you can improve in things. You can release things to get better, to learn. It's just another one of those reminders that like never say never kind of thing. And if someone would have told me 4 years ago that I would be doing anything close to what I've been up to the last 3 years, I would have honestly laughed at them. But yeah, I think it's just something that's I don't know, something that I just like I said earlier, just trying to heal out loud to prevent others from dying silently. And really what I'm doing is just like you said, just teaching what I'm or preaching what I've been taught from people like you and Darren and my psychiatrist and anyone else who's willing to kind of get deep with me, and just trying to share that with anyone else who's willing to listen.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Drew, I want to know, what has it been like? I know you had a relationship with and working for the Giants and being alongside their journey. What was it like for you to be in that mental health role and have a relationship with guys on the team? Because I know, like, if I'm putting myself in your shoes, my mind's going to be like, okay, like, I want to build connection with these guys, but how do I, like, not overdo it? How do I not, like, overstep and, like, barge into their space, but at the same time, like, be there for them, be a resource for them? Like, how did you grow to find comfortability in that role?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still learning how to do that. But yeah, I think the first year I really found myself where I look back and see that I was really holding back because of that concept. Like, I don't want to just come in hot as the mental health guy and just talking nonsense and making it look like I'm just doing my job and trying to check a box. Even though I genuinely cared about trying to help, I didn't want to just be a one trick pony. So I try to keep it casual. I try not to be the inconvenience that I was making up in my head. But I think I really just find a blend of just being one of the guys, just being another baseball mind, but blending some of those questions or those talks in those everyday conversation, because I think that's the most important part when it comes to mental health work. Is like, for me, one of my biggest missions is just making it a casual thing where it's like, yeah, I'm asking about how your night was last night when we're at the field, or asking about your nice pair of shoes, and then just letting you know really quickly in like the most casual way, like, man, those are nice shoes and blah, blah, blah. But and hey, also, like, just a reminder, like, if you ever need anything, I'm here. And then that, let's go take ground balls. Like, just a quick little seed planting, and just try to blend it in there and not come in so hot as like a fake professional or someone who's got all the answers. Just like, I'm in the trenches with you, and I'm willing to kind of talk it through or listen or analyze or whatever you might need. But I'm not going to, you know, force it on you. But I am going to mix in reminders here and there because it's important. And for me, there was times where I was feeling a certain way, but showing that I was totally fine. So someone who might not be showing symptoms could be going through the thick of their depression or anxiety or whatever it might be at that time. So quick little reminders, quick little seed planting that I'm ready now, or I'm ready a month from now, a year from now, just whatever you need. I care about you. And then can also talk chop about literally anything else.
There's a line in your suicide letter that I know you wrote that you say, I hope you guys realize you couldn't have seen this coming to prevent it because of how hard I was trying to hide it. And I want you to touch on that. I think that's powerful. I'm assuming you're talking to everybody or your family there, but just the quiet crisis that happens, and the importance of people like yourself speaking out on mental health and, in a sense, kind of normalizing it and breaking the stigma.
Yeah, I think it's really like how hard I was trying to hide it, and also just how ashamed I was to be feeling that way or thinking that way. My analytical brain was not allowing me to feel the way I was feeling because of the circumstances I was living. I had, even though I wasn't exactly where I wanted to be in my career, I was pretty close. I had a supportive family, even though they're separated. Like, on paper, I had something, I had a life that a lot of people would die for. So how dare I feel the way I was feeling? So it was a blend of me trying to hide that feeling, but also just being too ashamed to share it because I was afraid of being misunderstood or judged for feeling that way while living that life. But yeah, it's something that, like I said, creates that obstacle that I think a lot of people feel at times. And the message is just like not being as ashamed, because at the end of the day, something that I've learned so often these last 3 years after speaking out about this stuff is, doesn't matter the age or the group or the someone I'm talking to, it doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, age, sex, whatever. We're all so much more alike than we realize. So it's like, if someone's really going to be honest with you and non-judgmental, they will be able to tell you that they have felt a similar way, just on a different level from a completely different external circumstance. So not being ashamed to share things that are weighing you down, because again, at the end of the day, we've all experienced stress. We've all experienced overwhelm and some form of anxiety or worry or fear, just on completely different levels. So talking about it before, again, it builds up and becomes that weight, or becomes something that our body is just constantly defending ourselves from, is so important. So I was just too ashamed to share it because I was so terrified of being misunderstood and judged. And I knew that I had a very good group of people around me. And that's why it was in that moment of writing that note, I knew it was going to be traumatizing. I knew it was going to be heartbreaking for the people that cared about me, but I was trying to do everything I could to just make it a little bit less hard and letting them know that there's no one missed anything. Like, no one caused this. There's no one else. Like, this is me, my decision, because of my mindset that's created this pessimistic monster. And it's not because of anybody else. So please don't feel guilty on top of any kind of grief that you're going to be feeling.
It's powerful. I think there's another quote from you that I've heard when you're talking about vulnerability, saying like, as someone who was trying to show fake confidence your whole life, just letting go and being vulnerable, you ended up finding the confidence you had been always dying for. And when I heard you say that, I'm like, yeah, that's what happened with me. Like, yeah, that's what happened with Darren. I mean, on a human level, people could just look at Darren as just an athlete, and you know, maybe some people do, but there's so much more. And it was in him sharing his story, and it was in you sharing your story. And yours, dude, you were like a year, like post-op after your incident, right? That you did that documentary, and the way that you told your story, you know, a year out from that, I was like, this guy is going to like help a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I mean, we did the filming like 5 months afterwards. It was pretty fast, pretty immediate. And that's why, again, like I said, the articulation and like my own understanding of the reasonings weren't as deep or as clear then, but that's the whole point, is like continuing to talk about it, because I just keep on finding deeper connections, anchors, clarity, all these things that free up understanding for my reality in any given moment. So yeah, like I said, I never would have thought, but it's something that I'm continuously trying to learn and help others with.
I mean, as we're in Mental Health Awareness Month, I'm somebody that, you know, is aware that people have their own unique battles and things they go through on a day-to-day basis, but as a collective whole, and how everything that is behind mental health and what all that is, what do you think is like, is there something that you can pinpoint, is something that needs to be taken to another level, or something that is missing for people as they're trying to begin their mental health journey or sustain their mental health journey? Is there something that sticks out to you that could use some change or could use some maintenance, some upkeep?
Yeah, again, I really think the casualness of it is so important. I think the misconception, two things, the casual, like the misconception of how casual it can be, and the expectation part of it. So I think just from my own personal experience and from conversation I've had with people, is that when someone finally admits they need help or starting their own process with it, I think there is a level of expectation that they're going to be fixed or healed by just showing up or just admitting, not realizing that it, again, is a continuous, never-ending journey. And at the very beginning of it, that is incredibly daunting. I know at times in the thick of one of my waves of downness, I do have a very daunting feeling attached to the work that I'm getting ready to show up to with my therapy work or a coaching call or just a conversation or a social setting. But the expectation that it's going to help me right then, I don't think necessarily serves me or serves anyone else that has that expectation, because it's unfair. It's not realistic. So it just kind of sets us up for failure. But then again, the casualness of it, where it's like, it doesn't need to be this complete lifestyle makeover overnight. You don't need to quit every bad habit. You don't need to do everything. It's like, take a small step first and create momentum to then be able to take on some of the bigger things and the bigger obstacles and the deeper healing. And starting small, and again, implementing it in a casual way. Like I said, it's such an easy thing to just ask how someone's doing. We do it in almost every conversation, but like actually being like, no, like really, like what's the last week been like for you? Or like, what's been the hardest thing this last week? Or what's been the most fulfilling? Just create an open-minded or exploration kind of dialogue. And if they're not ready, then that's fine too. But also detaching from expectation as a support, and making it more casual, where it's like, yeah, I'm going to eat my unhealthy treats that I love to do every day. I'm going to watch shows or watch TV. I'm not the biggest person with that, but like whatever they do that they feel like is a minor thing, but it's a consistent thing. Being able to do those things, also being able to be that same person in whatever your social setting is, but then being able to like mix in a couple different acts and creating that momentum to make it a more casual thing. Like, yeah, I'm going to go to dinner night, but I got to be home soon. I got to be home early because I have a therapy session tomorrow. And then not being ashamed about it, just being like, yeah, that's the reality. No shame in my game kind of thing, and making it more casual instead of like, I need to be Buddha tomorrow and I need to be Gandhi like by the end of the afternoon, or otherwise it's a failure. So I think the expectation and like making it more casual, I think will do more work of ending the stigma and moving the needle than like any big collective like event or thing like that. So that's where my thoughts took me with that one.
Yeah, there's plenty of therapy sessions I've sat down on the couch after and just been like, oh, like felt even heavier than when I went in. So that's real.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, and the thing is, like, again, we've all been there, whether it's in therapy or not. Like, how many times have you come home after a stressful day and you're like, oh my gosh, let me just go to sleep. Like, everyone, and anyone that says no is a liar. Like, there's only two kinds of people. Facts. Someone that's like that and liars. So yeah, we're all experiencing a lot more things similarly than we might realize.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
No doubt. What are you hearing out there when you go and speak, and maybe you do a Q&A or people stop you afterwards? Like, what's the common struggle? What are you hearing the most of from teenagers, adults?
Yeah, I think the theme, I don't know about specific things, but I think the theme is just, again, expectations and comparisons, which maybe that sticks out to me because everyone is usually a mirror. Like, I don't know. I know you guys know the concept of like everything that we're experiencing is really just a mirror of our own internal world. So maybe that's why it sticks out to me, because I still struggle with those things. But expecting things to go a certain way, expecting them to go your way, go perfectly, or just comparing things and again, I think that kind of just correlates with expectation, like comparing something and expecting you to be better than that thing or be able to do something similar to that good thing or whatever, or I'm doing that worse than that thing. So I just think the theme is usually comparisons and expectations, which again, too specific of expectations than anything is really just either limiting or set you up for failure. So like if you get what you're expecting in a way that could be limiting, there might be something better available if you weren't expecting it to go that way. So like not having such specific expectations and comparison, and it's obvious, right? Like the world of social media and media in general, expecting things to be a certain way because you've seen it happen before is fair. And then comparisons to other people's lives and setups and things like that, it's obvious, but there always seems to be an undertone of expectation or comparison to any kind of question I get when it comes to what the struggles are.
What do you say to somebody where the burden of their life has gotten so heavy to where the thoughts are starting? Like, what do you say to somebody? Like, where do you go? What's your common response?
My first response is just a reminder or a lesson. Like if it's the first time they're hearing it, that everything is temporary. It doesn't matter how severe it feels, how heavy it feels, how drastic it is. I mean, I think of people who have like unfathomable things happen to them that are, they have no control over. It's hard for me to say that to somebody because I haven't experienced that. It's all been like internal, like it's been put on by myself. So it's easy for me to have that choice. But again, at the end of the day, feelings are temporary. Experiences are temporary. We don't obtain success. We don't get to obtain or like memories or experiences. Like we don't have those things at our grasp at any time. So knowing that it's temporary, no matter how consistent it's felt, you can probably go back to 10 years before that where it wasn't that exact way. So it is temporary, which I feel like kind of creates that seed or plant the seed for like some faith or that little voice in the back of my mind. I know it, that quote helps me, is like, this is temporary. Like even though it might not feel very real in the moment or in the thick of like some negative thinking, but it is happening where it's like creating a little bit of like a glimmer of hope of like, okay, it won't always be this way. Maybe tomorrow or maybe next week or maybe next month, but it is going to end and it's worth pushing through, or like the shirt says, keep going, because it is temporary. So, but it does take action to do that. But I think the other like concrete things is just the habits that we've been talking about, whether it's finding some kind of hobby that allows a different kind of outlet, or committing to therapy or committing to social connections and like doing some new things or creating neuroplasticity, get out of your comfort zone, whatever it may be. I think it's always just important to try new things and to have the understanding that it's temporary, and like no matter how dramatic it may feel, anyone that cares about you or anyone that's been around you would rather hear about the heaviness of whatever feels irrational than attend your funeral. So people would always just rather hear from you instead of about you. So temporariness, hear from you instead of about you, and some kind of actionable thing that gets you out of your comfort zone to kind of switch things up a little bit.
That's a bar right there.
See, that's, man, I mean, that's what I end all my, anyone's listening that might be going to one of my talks, you don't need to come anymore, because that's how I drop the mic usually. I'd rather hear from you instead of about you.
Man, well, I just want to say thank you again. Like every time we get to have a conversation or face to face, man, like it's always left feeling seen and understood in a way, even if the conversation isn't super heavy or super deep. Like I just, that energy is there, man. And I appreciate that about you, and just the real life example of continuing to write your comeback story looks like. It's great sometimes. Sometimes it sucks. Sometimes I'm afraid. Sometimes I'm strong and courageous. So it's just like that overall picture and making it real and authentic, man. I just want to say thank you, bro.
Yeah, man. I love that. I love that so much. I agree with all of it. So, I honestly appreciate you guys having me. And I, again, love talking shop with you guys and getting deep and, learning new things every time we talk. So I appreciate you guys as well.
Yeah. As I sit back and just listen to Darren give you, Drew, some flowers. It's just cool to sit back. I mean, if I were to paint a picture of the model coaching client, I think, well, you two would be like exactly it. And there's a reason. Like, I believe that the world is changed by your example, not your opinion. And you guys live this. Like, you're living recovery, you're living mental health. You guys are out there, like, but most importantly, you're doing the work, like the dedication to your journaling practice. I mean, I don't know, Drew might have you a little bit, Darren, with his journaling. He takes it to the next level. But then again, you got all the songwriting tied in too, so I'm sure you guys can go toe to toe.
I only share the ones that come out nicely. I'm not sharing the ones that are super messy and not grammatically correct. So yeah, of course, I'm only going to share the ones that come out nicely. He's able to do it in a 3-minute quick, concise way, which is even more impressive because really what I just do is blabber on for pages and pages.
Well, yeah, but regardless, I think, again, it's just cool to be on here with you two who, when I think about the ideal, and, you know, I have this thing where many of my coaching clients turn into my closest friends, and I don't know if there's a line that's crossed there, but I don't really give a shit because I would take you guys as friends over like anything else for the rest of my life. And I mean, you guys live it. And even though I might be your coach at times, I'm telling you guys are teaching me more than you'll ever know.
Love it. All mirrors.
Love you, man.
All mirrors. Just trying to share the love. Just trying to set some people, free so we can be free. Right.
Exactly. No.
All right, everybody. Drew, tell everybody what I know. You're involved with some other things, passion projects. Like, where can people find you? Where can they support you?
Yeah, I mean, really, just social media right now. I have we're kind of pivoting a little bit with my own foundation to a more like peer support kind of platform. So, just my social media will be releasing those things, but we want to grow it to a big audience at some point, but we're going to be holding intimate peer support groups, which we've done already. So Better Universe Foundation is what it's going to be titled under. And that's what we've been trying to get launched for the last couple of years. Just hasn't been going as well. But social media, Better Universe, Giants, any mental health world I'm trying to be a part of. So find me, connect me. I'm down to connect.
Start by going and listen to episode 1 with Drew in season 1, and then then go do your research and support him. And Drew, man, thank you for coming on. We will do this again, no doubt. Keep your comeback going. I'm so proud of you as just as a friend to watch you step up. But we know, like, the work doesn't stop.
Absolutely. Appreciate it so much. Love you guys, and looking forward to staying connected and watching this podcast myself.
All right. Love you both. Sure, we're out.
Peace.
Comeback Stories is a production of Inflection Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.